This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
I'm Vincent Staples.
What up, Mr. Staples?
How you doing, man?
Good, man. Look, it's funny what you just did, because I'm going to fall in right now and say, we've been trying to get you here for 2 years.
That's true.
That makes no sense.
It makes perfect sense.
I saw you in the last 2 years I've been here.
You came with Earl.
Yeah, we wanted you solo.
But we wanted you solo. And I think that was that before Earl?
It was.
It was before Earl. So, you know, your manager's good, long-time friend of mine. I did give him the press. And to speak up for him, he had a plan already, you know. So, and he explained that to me, and I respect his business. So I was like, cool, but I didn't think it would take 2 years to get you into the seat. But I will say, you guys gave us first listen, so that's a hell of a thank you.
That was solely based off of you. I'm not playing at all. We were in the office, and Gabe was like, well, yeah, we're going to do this NPR first listen thing. I was like, isn't that where Ali works? He was like, yeah. And I said, all right.
Thank you. Well, I was just sitting around watching all the other interviews go down. I was like, okay, there has to be a reason, and that's a great thank you.
Don't thank me. I just, you know, they need to thank you.
Agreed. But yeah, it's doing really well, like traffic-wise and engagement-wise and everything, so thank you.
Yeah, that's great, man. I had a spike in pre-sales.
Yeah, that's that NPR bump.
NPR bump.
It's real.
Spike in any sales is crazy, you know?
But yeah, I mean, I would like to start with Corey, actually, if that's possible. I read an interview with you where you said that you weren't even taking rapping seriously until you met him.
I mean, not really. It was like after. I didn't really care when I met him either.
Okay.
It was like after certain you know, things unfolded. He was definitely the stepping stone as far as how, you know, that led to that path. But I knew Corey for like about a year before I cared, like year and a half before I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. And then after like 2 years, I was like, all right, I'm going to stop playing.
Okay. But how did you come to meet then?
I was just around, man, you know. A few people I was working with at the time, the most important one being Michael Uzuaru, great friend of mine. We were in the, you know, right place, right time kind of situation. And one of Michael's, I guess, collaborators was telling Corey that he should work with Michael. And then Corey started, you know, working with both of us at that point in time. And I kind of kept it going.
And when you were talking to Corey about Vince, what was the, how did he describe him?
How did I describe him?
No, how did Corey describe him to you?
He didn't really. I just knew about Vince, and I knew that he was repping him. So I just wanted to have the conversation. He was really excited about Vince, and we talked about production as well, and he was saying that Vince was very specific and had a particular sound and an idea of what he wanted to do. And so that was as the conversation went on that.
Yeah, you called me from the studio.
Yeah.
I think you stepped outside and you're like, book this guy. And I was like, I have been trying.
I'm sorry about that. It's not my fault.
No.
I'm very, very... When it comes out, when it's outside of the numbers, you know, everyone around me tells me to make sure I don't spend my money, make sure nobody takes my money. So, you know, besides that, I'd have no mind for business at all when it comes to certain things. Like, I don't even have to pay attention to that stuff. I got, you know, I'm lucky. Courtney and Corey call me in the morning like, hey, make sure you're here at this time.
And I find that, well, after being in it for so long, that there's two sides to that. That's a great thing from a creative perspective. And from really having your own sort of landscape of where you want to go and what you want to do. And so you can really kind of like have the experience, feel it out, know what you want to change, and not have all these other additional things you have to worry about. So
yeah, but that you have to have the right people in place for that to work out.
That's what I'm saying.
If you don't got the right people in place, you can, you know, get Little Richard and, you know, all of those different things.
Well, it's two sides, because even in having the right people, then at some times if you leave it so much to them, at some point, you know, there may be aspects that you miss out on. And it's not that they're not trying to, you know, do their thing. They are, but actually then...
they might not know. It's all about guidance. Man.
Yeah,
teamwork makes the, you know, situation work. So
You're in good company.
Yeah,
but
man.
You know that.
Yeah, I'll be chilling, man.
How do you know Corey? Why are you guys friends?
Because of De La Soul.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you tell, like, why?
I don't know. Can we? It's like we have to bring Corey in. I feel kind of like, you know, we're talking about the man, and he's just like.
Is he coming in?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, cool.
So quiet in here.
Cozy. It's another word for it. I don't think that mic is on. So if you guys could share, cool.
Mr. Staples.
Oh, it's on.
It's on.
You could be there.
Okay, I'm on station.
Mr. Hey, Ali.
What? What's up, Corey?
I'm good, man. I'm in a good space. Very happy to see you and happy to see the Vince's here. And this has been good, man. It's been a long haul, but we're arriving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
I'm just hanging out, man.
He's hanging out at the right places, though. That's the best part.
Mm.
There's air conditioning.
Oh.
At least. So tell the story of how you guys started. Man. Yeah.
I met Ali when I started working with De La Soul. Yeah, I was literally, was that 90, Stakes is High.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Stakes is High album, Platinum Island, right? Platinum, yeah, on right next door to Raucous back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And started managing De La Soul right around that time. And I was brought into the fold through a very unique meeting, a native tongue meeting. I've never forget
that.
Oh,
my God.
A very big
Can we excuse Mr. Smith?
Native tongue meeting, actually. But yeah, but that was it was very great, though. It was great to witness that moment.
Oh, my God.
Wait,
I forgot about that.
Why are you shaking your head? Have you heard this story?
I don't know what native tongue is. Yeah. I know what De La Soul is because of MF Doom and Good Burger.
Okay.
And Nike SB.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was this meeting?
Oh, it's just, you know,
don't
cats were trying to
like
make things happen at that point in time. Then some things happened, some things didn't. But it was a big meeting. I never forget it. Yeah.
I just forget things. So, you know, sometimes there's comfort in forgetting things. And then, you know, like I totally forgot about that meeting. And I'm like, oh, that, because now he just opened up a whole memory bank over here that was just like, cool, we dealt with it. And now I'm like, oh, yeah, that was a very important meeting.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Am I supposed to know what happened in this meeting?
No one is.
No one is. Yeah, I was about to say, like, no one's supposed to know what happened in that meeting. But the fact that we're all young, you know, and that was the best thing for me. And I always tell Vince, him having me at this age versus the age I was there, I would have been different in that meeting. Like, I was kind of in awe because I'm fans of all of them, but you know, people are just trying to organize lives and business in a structure that's not really a structure at that moment, and it's unique. And part of the conversation earlier was about the creative and how Vince feels very free to be creative, which is a great thing, you know, especially at 21, about to be 22. But there's a business side to it, as Ali was saying, that you have to start thinking about at some point in time. And he's there. He doesn't know he thinks about it that way because he's very, very particular about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to ever be tilted. But that meeting was about creative with business. And it was just, I don't think the business ever grew. The native tongue business didn't grow. And it could have. It could have been something phenomenal. The fact that a 21-year-old kid who makes great music knows about the individuals but doesn't know about the collective speaks to the business that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my first conversation with you, I got the sense that you knew exactly what you were doing, and
I didn't. That's the crazy part about it.
Well, from the sense that I think creatively you did, creatively speaking, you gave me that impression and very strong, and it seemed like you had certain ideas as to what you wanted to go, and maybe you don't see that, but I saw that clearly.
How many years ago was that?
Two.
I had no idea what I was doing.
Did you know what you didn't want to do, though?
Yeah. Now, see, that I know what I didn't want to do, but I had no idea what I was doing.
That's enough.
I figured that out, like, what, October? Yeah,
really?
Like September. I'm dead. I'm so serious.
Why, do you remember that moment?
Yeah.
What happened?
You know how you're looking for something, you don't know what it is?
Mm-hmm.
We found it.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, that's there it goes.
What was it?
We was in Toronto and we met Hagler and he had the Blue Suede beat. I was like, oh, there it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, we'll be done in like a week. And Corey's like, you sure? I was like, yeah. And then we were done in a week.
But knowing what you don't like is knowing what you kind of like on a low.
Now that you said that, I understand what you mean.
It's the yin and yang.
Mm-hmm. For sure didn't know what I was doing, though. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really thinking about it at that time. I was trying to figure out other things, but yeah, that makes sense.
What were you trying to figure out?
Life, man. Life is the important part.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the important part.
Yeah.
The music will never matter without life. Mm-hmm. So life is the important part. That's the priority. And then music comes second. And then third comes, you know, the connection to the music and, you know, money and fame and fortune and notoriety is like 15th on that list or like 20th or something to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last thing I care about.
But don't you think the life stuff, or have you noticed that when the life stuff gets correct, the music gets better?
No, because the music's never better or worse. It's just what it is at that time.
Okay.
I don't think anything's good or bad. I refuse to label anything as good or bad because some like early Vince Staples music, which I would never listen to, which I think is horrible. And I watched all that shit was trash. And I was being, you know, lazy and taking advantage of situations and being like, hey, I can be over here and hang out and stay out of trouble if I just make some songs. Okay, what's this song about? What's this beat called? Okay, there you go. Leave me alone. I'm over here. That wasn't the whole purpose of certain things at first. Thinking I was smarter than, you know, than the cycle of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if life is really, really bad, does that mean the music's gonna be really bad? If life's really, really good, does that mean music is really good? No. Some people make their best music when life is horrible. Some people lose sense of what their music was when their life starts to get better.
So, just to build on this point, because I had something written down, I wanted to give you some words. Envy, hoarding, stick-ups, dubious, orphan, solitude, or you can trade that for deserted, famine, anger in the nation, and penitentiary maternity wards. What's good?
It all depends on the perspective. Because if the penitentiary is wrong in the first place, then maternity ward is pointless. But if, you know, if the penitentiary is potentially good, then of course they can have kids in here and it's safe and it's sanitary. That's a good thing. But why are they in there in the first place? So it could be good or bad. Stick ups, does that person really need that money? Do you really need that money? Are their kids going to be okay if you take from them? Are your kids going to be okay if you don't take from them? It's about which angle you look at things from. Nothing really good or bad. At the end of the day, we make all this stuff up.
I ask you those things because I feel that some of your music talks about just the embodiment of just those words. And it makes me wonder, and I keep landing to what's good. So I like hearing you say you don't look at it as things are bad, things are good.
It's all about circumstances. Your circumstances dictate your set of values or your set of morals. So that's really what it comes down to. Because with circumstances changes the way you look at things. Because that defines everything.
So with regards to the music then, the music at one point in time was a place where you can get an education, you can be inspired, you can be taught how to look at your life in regardless of the surroundings, being challenged or not, that you can have a sense of pride in yourself. And it seems to be kind of a feeling that's lost in the music. And I get the sense that you want to bring back something where people can really be taught from your music. Am I wrong?
No, that makes sense. That definitely makes sense. It's just, I mean, like I said, it all depends how you look at it. Like, that's definitely not what music is about anymore. At least from the way I do it, like the people in my genre, whatever they call those things now, is about, you know, getting some money and getting some attention. That's really what it's about for basically everybody.
What's it about for you?
I don't even know what it's about.
Come
it's
on,
like,
Vince.
If I'm serious. I literally don't think about those things. I don't think about those things. It's like, I'm here already. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna stop, quit. I don't like this stuff 90% of the time. Ask him. I don't lie. I do not have fun with this stuff. because you don't get. I like life.
Is there a purpose?
Everybody has a purpose. It's not up to you to define that, though. So I'm figuring out. I was like, we don't know. We know nothing. We don't know anything. We only know what we're told. The fact we all got convinced that money means something, it means everybody's stupid to me. Period. We're off. We're all stupid. Because we let somebody make something and say, this is what means everything. So what makes you think we know about the world that's outside of us? Or what our life, we're not even thinking about life. We're paying taxes. For what? Why? Why do any of these things exist? You make a house to sell it to get money that somebody makes in an office somewhere.
It's a good question. It's a good point.
If you take money out of everything, if there's no such thing as money, what changes? We still have the animals to make the food. We still have, you know, the resources to build these things.
Mm-hmm.
We still have what we need to make these sciences and all this other type of stuff. Well, this stuff is made up.
Nothing changes, I think, except for the higher consciousness of mankind, which we keep missing because we get stumped by that thing we focused on, so, that we think we're supposed to be focused on. We're not reaching
the higher. So the fact that money and, like, you know, being popular and being better than the next person is what this world is based on, who cares, right? No one cares about anything if you want to be 100% honest. No, you care about what benefits you the most, no matter what you do. But that's the way that we're made. That's the way that we were raised up, is to care about what benefits us the most. So when it comes to thinking of I try not to think about stuff like that, because it goes against what I know.
I respect that.
Because I know none of this matters at the end of the day. I know 90, probably, I won't say that, it's a different time. Half the people that listen to your music listen to it to say they listen to your music. For no other reason. Say, oh yeah, I like this. But why? What does it do for you? Half the people that buy your music do it to support you. Half do it to say they did it so they're not deemed stealing, so they feel better about themselves. And most of the people that do listen to your music steal it, but they love you to death. That doesn't make any sense to me. So, like, this whole ordeal doesn't make any sense to me. I read an article today that said, you know, Vince Staples, blah, blah, you know, while being on Def Jam Records, one must try to make radio records. So, and we see his two attempts on this song and that song. What does that even mean? What is the radio? That's somebody else playing a song. Why do you have to try to do that? What kind of sense does that make? That makes no sense.
Yeah, people just throw their own spin in life and stuff.
Which is
that's not connected or based off of anything real.
Exactly.
And that's what you're saying.
Exactly. What I'm saying is nothing matters at the end of the day to 90% of the people that walk the face of this earth. That's why you have the special ones. And, you know, they're crazy. When you think about somebody who's, it's funny, I was talking to my girl's brother's autistic. And my brother, he's been on bed rest for probably like about 60%. Probably majority of my life. And she was talking about, like, mentally challenged people, like how people feel bad for them. And that's just always funny to me. Like, why do you feel bad for them? They don't have to deal with any of this shit. They're happy. They don't know about any of the things we have to deal with. Mm. They're living their life. Smile on their face. When they're sad, they're sad. When they're happy, they're happy. It's often outweighed by the happiness. Why do we should feel bad for us?
No doubt.
But it's a sense of, We're so lost. We don't know what any of this stuff means. And we don't even care to find out.
Some of us don't. I care.
But you got to think about it. Majority rules. That's the life that we set up in. That's why we vote.
Shoot it too much, so a nigga resorted to doming. That's somebody's son, but a water be one, baby. Either go hunt or be hunted. We crabs in a bucket, he caught me a crab, so I shot him in front of the Douglas. I
cannot be fucking, we thugging in public.
9mm, my brothers, my keeper was serving that ether before I did features. My mama sick that she know how to greet me, she know how to keep me, she better get. 9mm, my brothers, my keeper was serving that ether before I did features. My mama sick that she know how to greet me, she know how to keep me, she keep me, she.
What mean the world to you? Is it fast like money and clothes? Probably fucking these hoes, or what would you murder for? Will your name hold weight when the curtains close? Nigga caught one case and I heard he told. Snitch, get a full clip and close casket. Won't hug your bitch when the hoe ratchets. Cold jumper, been shooting, no practice. Been touring with foreign coupe crashing. Still banging, too naughty, too nasty. Still fuck the police, they won't catch me. My feature too pricey, don't ask me. Go hard to go yard on my baggage. He mad, we won't fight him, don't tag him. Mask up at midnight and start clapping. Kids crying, still sniping, no leg.
Hey, 9mm, my brothers, my keeper was serving that ether before I did features. My mama sick that she know how to greet me, she know how to keep me, she better get. 9mm, my brothers, my keeper was serving that ether before I did features. My mama sick that she know how to greet me, she know how to keep me, she. Hey, 9mm, my brothers, my keeper was serving that ether before I did features. My mama sick that she know how to greet me, she know how to keep me, she better get. 9mm, my brothers, my keeper was serving that ether before I did.
You got a point. Based off that perspective, the majority that does rule doesn't rule me, so that's my perspective.
Exactly, but like I said, it's like it's back. You say about right or wrong. It's right. It's wrong. A reality. The fact that we even dabble in right or wrong is wrong in the first place. But is it wrong? Because it brings order. Is order right? Are we supposed to have order? And why does no one focus on the reality of the situation? If you look at the news, all these people died and how things are happening, it's never based on the reality of the situation. It's based on what people think are right and wrong. All of that is based on opinion. When things are based on opinion, the popular opinion wins. That's why it's called the popular opinion. So in that sense, we're always going to be fucked. Because all you need to do, Hitler got people to think he was right.
Absolutely.
Do you think, no one thought that they were wrong. That's the crazy part about it. No one thought that they were wrong. The terrorists that proceed that handle 9/11, you know, the Boston bombing, these people never think they're wrong. We don't think we're wrong when we go blow up elementary schools looking for one person to spare lives of soldiers. So we throw a bomb in a school because somebody's hiding in it. Not thinking about the lives of those people, but it's right in our, it's right to us, but it's wrong to them. What kind of sense does that shit make?
It doesn't make sense, but at the same time, these things, I think, are done to make us reflect. And if you take a moment to reflect, that's all you need to then start to question and to try to be on that journey to figure out what the purpose is. But
okay, now
but most people don't take that moment.
Because when do you have that moment?
Well, nowadays, in this century, like with all this, and
it's not even that. It's past that. Before that, you wake up, you see your mom go to work, you go to school, you come home, you hate your life some more, you go back to school. Your friend has a birthday party. His house is bigger than yours. He can never come to your house, cause you live in the back of your aunt's house, across the street from the oil refinery, in a gang-infested neighborhood where everyone is related to you. So you're embarrassed about that. You go home, do your homework. Your mom comes home, makes nothing, tries to figure out how to make you not realize that you're poor. Because where I live at, in the state that I live at, an apartment in a bad neighborhood is $800, $900 a month for a one-bedroom. That's a lot of money if you're getting paid minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
But your kid has to have the nice shoes because he has to deal with the other kids, or you got to go to school where they have the uniforms. But you have to pay for that, too, so you're not really running from anything. So you're spending your whole life trying to catch up to something that you don't know why you're chasing, and trying to disguise your kids from something that they already noticed based on their own interactions. That's the beginning of life. That's before you have bills as a kid, before you have to pay taxes. That's before you're elderly, you know, you can't take care of your own self. So my question is, with all these things in your way, before the phones, before interactions with other people that could be negative, you trying to scramble for no apparent reason. When do you have the time to sit down and think? This is before the internet.
I think that depends on, based off of that environment you described, that depends on who else is around you in that environment. Because if it's just completely like that, then you don't have time. But if you have someone who can just say, you know what, let me just pull you over here and talk to you, even if I talk to you for 5 minutes to give you a vision of the world that doesn't exist in front of you that it's not tangible to you, but just enough to open up your mind to that. If you don't have that, then you're going to be behind. But if you have someone to do that, then your journey then shifts. And that's, you make the time.
That's,
you will find the time.
That's less than half.
The majority of kids don't get that.
That's not so real. That's you're supposed to get that in school, but when you open up that history book, you're a slave.
Supposed to just get that in general.
Yeah,
life.
Before school.
Yeah, not, before, yeah,
but that,
before
but that's,
school.
That's not happening.
Correct.
Like I said, it's right, wrong, reality. The reality of the situation is.
Brings me to.
Your record.
Your record. Mm-hmm. When you have a song like Lift Me Up, who are you talking to?
Wait, can I just clarify one thing? Did you or did you not have that person?
Never in my life.
So he did it without that person?
No, he had those people. I mean, listen, I'm not going to try to disagree with him in his interview, but there are people that he pays attention. Whether they were speaking directly to him, he pays enough attention that he was able to grab a lot more. I said to my mother, you know, I was like, you know, Vince is a dropout of high school, right? You would never tell me if he went through, if someone had taken the time at those formative years to give him that type of attention, where he would have been. I'm glad he's here because it's all with purpose. But he clearly could have done anything with the proper focus.
I think his purpose was how do I say this? Your journey, whatever it is, it's a full purpose and
complete.
It will be fulfilled. And when I first met you, I felt that. And even something that you said in one of your other interviews, you said, you don't want to be rapping when you're 45. And based off of your words, I felt that you wanted to have a relationship and an influence with children, you know, for the next generation of people who didn't have what you did not have. You know, likewise, where you can offer them that thing that you did not have. Mm-hmm. So that gave me a sense that somewhere in your journey, there was an anointing. So when you say you didn't have that, probably didn't, but something along the line, mm-hmm. I think, had planted a seed and given you a vision.
And I'm going to tell you what that was.
Okay.
At a very young age, I could look at people and tell that everyone was in a sense, worthless in their own mind. And you couldn't trust anyone. No one was good. My mom wasn't good. My dad wasn't good. My grandmother wasn't good. My grandfather was good to me, but if you ask around, he done some stuff. No one's good or bad. And then I understood it was a trick. I knew he was being fucking tricked. Mm. At a young age, so it's like I didn't fuck with anybody. If I don't talk to any of my family members, and I've never liked them, cousins, aunts, uncles, I don't dabble in that type of stuff. And my whole thing was I'm gonna figure it out for myself in a selfish way, mm-hmm. and it was in a negative point of view. So my whole thing was I'm gonna figure out as much as I can to stay alive as long as I can, mm-hmm. because niggas like me get killed. Because that's what my grandfather told me before he died, is niggas like you get killed. And I've only heard him say one curse word my whole life, and it was that one.
Mm. What do you mean, like you?
I don't know what that means. But I tried to make sure that I was by myself. Like, from the ground, I've been from my neighborhood for a very long time. I don't kick it with a lot of my people. And they love me to death. I come when I come. I've never fell into the we're dressing like this right now. Let's do this because I don't trust people. Mm. Because people don't control their self. They don't control what they think. And I don't control what I think to a large. But a lot of things I think are based off my emotions, the things I've seen. That's not even controlling them, in a sense. But people are controlled by the words of others, and the actions of others. If someone tells you that this wall is pink, and you know it's not, for the right person, if you're told that enough, you're going to start to believe it yourself based out the need of acceptance. And I never needed that. It's like, this is that, I don't care. And that hurt me more than it's ever helped me, trust me. Mm-hmm. More than it's ever helped me, it's hurt me. But I mean, things happen.
Why? Because it separates you from people?
Yeah, I don't want to listen to anybody. But my question is, I'm sitting right here right now, but should I have?
What do you mean?
Should I have listened to him? Because I wouldn't be right here if I did.
That's why I say.
Exactly.
But this is my question. Majority of people don't get here. Right. And it's not about me at the end of the day. I mean, it never will be. So this is how I look at life. I'll run my fucking gun. That's life. Mm-hmm. You have to deal with whatever you deal with long enough to stay alive. and then it'll work out. That's for everybody. You just have to wait and go through whatever you go through for the right amount of time until you can figure it out. And that's really what it comes down to, no matter who you are. Because you can miss those opportunities by not paying attention or by giving up. Because it's not fair, but it's not supposed to be. But I never looked up to anybody, listened to anybody's words. I know who's who. That's a lot of things. People don't know who's who. I know exactly who is who. I might not act like I do, but I know everyone. I can tell. You can tell a lot about somebody by the way they shake your hand and look at you. Mm. And that's all you need to know. So I've never had anyone to look up to, because why would I? Look where I come from. Everyone's pretending they're not sad.
It's not necessarily about having someone to look up to. I think that's great. But what I'm saying is just have someone to just show you that there's another side of the world that may not be revealed to you.
But what you have to understand is that majority of those people don't know. Majority of people don't know there's another side of the world.
Well, I know that.
But you got to think about the way that this world is set up. You have to pay a lot of money to catch a flight. You have to pay for a passport to get out of this country. You got to pay to get on a bus. So if you can't pay for them 4 or 5 bus rides it's going to take to get out of the city, how are you going to know what else is out there? And I'm talking before, this is before the internet, before Twitter, Tumblr. We had MySpace when I was already in high school. It's too late by then.
I think to your point, Ali, like maybe the kind of the craziest thing though is like you didn't have that, but what if you are that for somebody else?
Exactly. But that's, I mean, life is all about sacrifice. But what I can promise you is that all the things, and it might, people think I'm negative, I'm talking about what I can literally promise you, all the things that people think help get people out of these situations are non-existent where I come from. And it's non-existent where I come from because it's in the middle. Mm. It's not Watts, but it's not Beverly Hills. There are no reforms for Long Beach because there are people that houses cost $6 million by the water, but that's less than 4 miles altogether. And you got 4th Street and 1st Street, but no one goes over there. The buses don't run that way. You got to know it's there to know it's there. But when you put out that big piece of paper and they do, you know, the consensus to see who lives where and how much money's here and what percentage of the race it is, they see that it's always the you know, Black, Hispanic, and, you know, Pacific Islander and Asian are the minority. But we've never seen the majority because the majority is crammed up. But you still make enough money to the point that it's, oh, that's a feasible place. Well, North Long Beach alone has high rape rates, high, you know, one of the highest fucking Grand Theft Auto rates in the United States, high murder rates. No one cares because they're just crazy because it's nice over there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you got to think about despair to the point you get to look at the beach every day and somebody's house is 4 stories going to school with no money in your pocket. So, okay, that's there. We're just not supposed to have it. It's who's, are they going to come talk to you? No, they're not going to come talk to you. Why would they talk to you? What's a boys and girls club? A boys and girls club is go play basketball. Mm. Don't steal anything.
So you have this platform then, coming from that, witnessing all of that, feeling it, you know, like it's part of your DNA, so to speak. And so you have this platform now. I think it's an important platform, especially at this time, in this age period where with all that's going on specifically in America, we can be inclusive globally, but let's just keep it down to the local level of Long Beach or the local level of California. There's so much happening. And you have this platform that you talk to them. You talk to the world, but you can talk to them. What, when you have a song like Lift Me Up Again, I'll go back to that. Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to myself.
Okay.
Because you got to see, you can talk to people all day, but it's all internal to me. And past that fact, you can have all the platform in the world, but it's up to the people to accept it. If they don't accept it, it doesn't matter in a sense. And that's the saddest part, especially nowadays, because there's so much to accept. So to the point, and it's so many roadblocks, especially for Long Beach, like even in California. Let's do it from a bigger thing. It's cut in half because, oh yeah, he cool, but he a crab. So we not listening to that. past that. In Long Beach, oh, he cool, but he from Nachos. Mm-hmm. We not listening to that. Because it's too late for a lot of people. And that's why it's about, it's not about right now. It's about when y'all dead and gone. Because my whole thing is, what ruined everybody is that history book. That's what ruined us. Because your introduction to yourself is you being worthless.
Till I fill my pockets, and then I miss the nigga. They follow me while shopping. I feel like making riches. They feel like muddy waters. So tell me what's the difference. So tell me what's the difference. My mama was a Christian. Crip walking on blue waters. Was fading up in Davis. Then walking back to Palmer. A fro like you, we partner. Auntie Angie had them choppers. So tell me what's the difference. So tell me what's the difference. Right. I feel like fuck Versace. They raping niggas' pockets. And we don't get acknowledged. Just thank me for the prophet. A prophet just like Moses. And Moses look like Shaka. Zulu, my 4-4 loaded. I'm aiming at Nirvana. My bitch look like Madonna. They staring in katana. Waiter still ain't brought the chopsticks. Should've brought the chopper. Uber driver in the cockpit. Look like Jeffrey Dahmer. But he looking at me crazy when we pull up to the project. See, this weight is on my shoulders. Pray Jehovah lift me up. And my pain is never over. Pills and potions fix me up. I just wanna live it up. Can the motherfucker breathe? Life ain't always what it seems, so please just lift me up, 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 lift me up.
That depends on your teachers.
You gotta think.
But I understand what you're saying.
Who are those teachers?
Correct.
I feel you. My teachers were different, so, but. And I know we come from two different
places. It's like Russian roulette. It's like Russian roulette in the sense that it might only be one bullet in that gun, but it's still one bullet in that gun.
The way you're speaking, it makes me feel like someone should just hit the button right now and blow the whole thing up. So, and I don't get the sense that's really what you're saying in your music, Vince. So,
what I'm saying in my music is, this is what I see, good luck.
Okay.
That's all my music is. My music is, and let's fix this. Because in a sense, part of me is like, no, don't fix nothing. I had to go through it, and somebody else got to do it too. Another half is, oh, it's not fair. But another half is like, who cares if it's not fair? They don't care, why should I care? Fuck it, let everybody get it. But it's all conflicts within people, because we all have different, you know, ways of thinking and ways of looking at things. But I don't know what it is. I don't know. It is, this is how I feel, this is what I think. You ask him, I'm not thinking about songs. I'm not sitting here like, yo, this should be this. Never. I will never approach a song like that, because why? I don't need to. That's not my job. My job is not for the radio. My job is not for, you know, sales. My job is to keep my sanity. Period. I can't do nothing else. I never got a bad grade in my life and stopped going to school when I was in 10th grade. Because I saw what it was. First time I got arrested was for nothing.
I was in court for
3 years. I was in court 13, facing 4 felonies.
For what?
For aggravated assault, threatening a witness, armed robbery, and it was some other crazy shit. But it was all based off, did you steal this phone from this kid? No. Ask him. No. Ask the girl whose phone it is. No. You're going to jail because they're scared of you. We go to court and the judge says, I don't even know why these charges are brought up. What happened? They're playing dirty. My mom, out of fear, was like, whatever I don't have to pay for, give them that.
Mm-hmm.
All out of fear. Everybody is confused.
So
it's no save. I feel like it's no saving. This the people older than me, if you like, just where I come from, past 25, you can't really do too much to alter it. My thing is, for my little brother was 15 years old and got 15 years based on what he saw on the books. Based on not what we were telling him, because mm-hmm. we sat there all day and told him, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. But the history showed that this is where we got where we are. This is where the pride comes from.
You told him don't do what?
He's in jail right now for attempted murder. But based on what we see on paper. Now, when I say the books, I don't mean literally like literally school books.
You're just talking about the cycle of life.
Exactly. Because yeah. I want my brothers from here, my cousins from here, I want to be from here. Here, they're known to do this. We don't do that no more. But no, because I don't want to be a part of your words. I want to be a part of what goes down in history. This music is laid out in the sense of, in 20 years when people ask, who was that person? Because I'm not going to be the same I am as I am now in 20 years. I'm 21 years old. I wanted, because when I really look back and I look at like people that we all look up to, like I look up at a Jay-Z. I don't know who Jay-Z was when he first came out. I know he rapped and he used to sell drugs. That's all I know. I don't know anything about Nas. I know Nas was smart and he rapped and he lived in the projects. We don't know anything. We don't know how these people felt in a sense of what they became, but because it wasn't ways to document it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It was harder for people to become, it was harder for us as far as rappers to kind of lay out our stuff in the way that a David Bowie did, because we know his whole life story, in the way that a Kurt Cobain did, in the way that, but that's what's important.
Why is it harder?
Because
to know.
It was shut up and rap. From the way that this business was set up, the way that it was, you know, it wasn't as saturated as it was now, but it was just different, man. Like there were different types of people, in a sense. Because even when we speak about, you know, De La Souls and Mos Def and all these other people, the people that definitely had a message and conveyed things in the appropriate way, I still don't know who they were, because I wasn't there. And in music, I think like you gotta think about what I feel like I want from music. I don't really care about that much money. So I'm able to, you know, my girl goes to college, we'll be fine. As long as I'm able to, you know, take care of my family, my little stuff. I don't like being bothered by people a lot. I don't really know. You have to have a reason to do what you do. And my whole reason is, when I was growing up, I read the books. And then I got older and I saw that all of it was fake. From the streets to music to the government to my own family to my parents to all of it was not real.
Which books?
Life. In a sense that, oh, Tookie Williams and this and that and your grandfather and your father and your mom and this. And then you grew up like, wait, none of you wanted to do this shit?
So what's your reason then? You said...
To have something in those books to say, how do you feel about yourself? Because you're the biggest shit in the world and this and that. No, I'm just a nigga. Because that's the reality of the situation when it passes us. Mm. And that's the problem. But no one wants to think about that reality of the situation.
So how do we break the cycle?
It's not about breaking the cycle. It's about letting it die out and starting a new one. You can't continue it because it gets continued. People are still rapping about selling cocaine and crack. It's 2015. Let's go find a crackhead right now. It's going to be very, very hard. We might find five today.
So,
if that's the cycle being repeated, because that's what we're taught. We're taught this is what rappers do. Because I say this in these interviews, and then I run across these people, and they look at me like, oh, you the motherfucker that be talking about this, that. But it's like, they know it's true. No one's doing that anymore. Why are we telling these kids that that's what we're doing? You're not. You are not doing that. You can make about $40,000-$50,000 a year if you're not the biggest rapper. You're making $20,000 every shipment if you're selling cocaine. Why are you rapping? Because we're taught that's what we have to do to be important. And that's the problem. The problem is we're telling these kids that we have to be these wrong things to be important. But they don't know what you go through when you really do it. And I'm trying to get that part of the story, because that's never been told. I don't care who says they've told it. especially from where I come from, because I'm not a drug dealer. I did the gang thing, and I've never heard it be told right.
So then, again, I say, your purpose is major, and you're proving me right, even in what you're saying.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Saying now, because I feel that, I think part of this conversation, one could take away from it that you're like, man, everything is a lie. It's all, there's no fixing it. Just like, we over. And even when you say everything should just die off, so it's just like, man, it's kind of grim.
I don't mean fix it. What I say is don't try to fix it. Just get rid of that idea.
Right.
In total. And let's sit down and let's be honest. I don't mean let it die off. It's let music die off.
I wasn't even taking it from music. So, I was taking like just the things in life that are not real. Mm-hmm. The things in life that prevent us from reaching our higher self. The things in life that is oppressing and keeping people in those situations, like where you come from. So what I'm saying is that has to die. Definitely. I feel that's what you're talking about.
Definitely. Cause like, and it's bigger than where I come from. Like, it's funny. I was talking to my friends, and they was like, "Man, you think all this, you know, all the things that keep happening with like race relationships, like you think it's ever gonna be over?" I was like, "No, cause it's always gonna be an argument, because you're trying to force people to relate to things they know nothing about." You gotta think about it like this. This is just my question, and I understand that race plays a part in everything. I understand that, you know, money plays a part in everything. I understand that situations and family play a part in everything. But when someone dies and you're looking in the face of a white person and saying, "They just killed a black man," and you expect them to relate to that, that's a problem. Because they don't know what it's like to be a black man. They never will. They can't. They can pretend they do. "Oh, that's wrong." You don't know what that feels like. We remove, "Oh, they just killed a person. They just killed a father. They just killed..." We that's in the back burner. We tend to separate ourselves in search for equality, and it's past race. We want to separate ourselves, but be held in the same regard as the people we're trying to disconnect ourselves from. Mm. Within hip-hop music, we want to be the biggest shit ever, but we don't want to take responsibility for the things that we say.
Mm-hmm.
We want the pop sales and the pop marketing and the pop advertisements, but you refuse to not say certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You refuse to not over-glorify drug culture.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to be equal. But at the end of the day, if we strip all these things and let all these things die off as far as the labeling and then the miscommunication, and we all start in the sense of we're all people, and this is my perspective on the life that we all live, we'll be in a much better space.
I agree with you. And I feel like you, at this time period, again, I go back to it where the state of hip-hop to me is... it's upsetting for someone like me. I know what my blood, sweat, and tears have done for this genre and for the culture of humanity and mankind. And it is extremely frustrating sometimes sitting in my chair knowing the power that other rappers have and how it's abused. And not just from the platform of rap, but just the platform of humanity. And so... hearing you say this warms my heart, my spirit. And can't wait for summertime to drop 06.
Yeah, man, it'll be fun.
Yeah, I think so. How do you feel about your date? Well, okay, I'll say it like this. You say, "Please don't steal my music, buy my music." Your album drops the same day Apple drops their music service.
We know.
Right? So, is streaming a form of stealing?
The listener's not stealing. I'll say that.
Mm. Love that answer.
Because we don't get a lot of money.
No, we get, what is it? 0.00?
Yeah.
You're 02?
You're in the points.
Cents?
So it's like...
for one listen?
So it's like, yeah. But they're not. They don't make the rules. They just want to hear the music, and that goes into what this whole business is set up. But you know what I mean? It's like, if a player could eventually buy a team, the NBA would be in bad shape right now.
What is the projecting on the album? What was a couple of your fun highlight moments in making it?
I don't know, man.
What do you mean you don't know? You had no fun making this album?
I mean, I didn't necessarily have a bad time.
All right.
But it's like, it's nothing I can really highlight. Like, it's work, man. I don't know, what do you think, Corey? What was a fun moment?
I think when Dahi came on board, it got to be more fun.
Oh, yeah, he's hilarious.
Yeah.
I like laughing at Dahi.
Yeah, Dahi brought the fun.
He's crazy.
No disrespect to everybody else, but Dahi brought the fun.
Deion's born as hell. Travis is born as hell. Dahi is hilarious.
Yeah, Dahi's fun.
He comes full Adidas, full tracksuit with, like, the beanie.
You just didn't expect him to be what he was. You know,
yeah. He's a great dude. Love that, man. But yeah, I don't know, man. I'd be working. I'd be going through hell doing this shit, man.
I feel you.
No, why?
You're supposed
what
to,
do you
though.
Mean? What do you mean?
You're supposed to.
Like, what parts are hell?
Have you heard my music?
Yeah, but I mean, like, what parts of the actual work?
It's just not, I don't know. I mean, all those songs are done. I don't write songs in the studio. Those songs are done.
Okay.
So do you walk away from, like...
Wait. But you. So you roll up...
What we do in the studio is we sit down for months and look for beats.
Yeah.
That's literally all we do.
Yeah. Do you mean the songs are done before you go in?
Of course, they're all the songs are done.
So you write them before you choose the music?
All the songs are done.
Okay.
Probably one song wasn't done already.
Okay.
Three songs on the album had different beats to them a year and a half ago.
Right.
Or a year ago.
That is a much less collaborative way than is common. Which makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, well, not really. I'm very sorry if anyone has to work with me. I know it's not fun. But I tell Nadi, I want the beat to sound like I'll send him like a picture or something. Mm-hmm. Or like use a word and like find it.
That's frustrating for a producer.
Oh, yeah.
But it's his album. Like, I think that is.
Well, what you have to understand is I don't believe in good or bad either. So it has to feel a certain way. I don't care how the music sounds. I don't care what it's talking about. It has to feel a certain way. Because to this day, I have no idea what the fuck Led Zeppelin is talking about.
Yeah, fair.
I have no idea what Metallica is talking about. I don't know what James Brown is talking about either. But it makes you feel a certain way. And that's what makes it last.
Is there any song on this album where you've walked away from it and maybe immediately, right after, you know, putting it down, or maybe even 2 months later, where the impact of the song really hits you emotionally?
No. I already got through all that stuff.
What do you mean you already got through all of it?
Like, it doesn't bother me anymore if it's already a song. Like, it's life. There are things that I've already dealt with, I'll put it like that. Whatever was being spoken about has already been dealt with.
Okay, then.
So it's like the impact hit before we made it. It's like light, you know what I mean? It's a reflective piece, if that makes sense.
I get it. I'm just wondering, you know, at any point have you listened over to some of your songs and you're just like, you have a moment where you're like, you know where it came from, but you don't know where it came from, and it really, you feel like, a spiritual sort of I don't know any other way to describe it, a relationship with any of those songs.
Like, have you ever written something and then listened back and been like, oh, I can't believe I did that. I wrote that. That came out of me. That happens to me sometimes.
No.
Not yet?
Not yet. That's the right answer. Not yet.
I got you.
I mean, would it be fair to say that I feel like there's a little bit of miscommunication in the room, and maybe I'm wrong. it seems that you, like, do you consider yourself an artist in the sense that you, there's a separation between what you make and, like, who you are?
I wish.
Right.
That'd make it a lot easier. I'm just a person, man. Like,
right.
I'm a very difficult person to deal with and understand.
Not in our experience. You are very clear.
Well, I mean, trust me, you don't know. From an understanding standpoint, when people try to figure me out, it doesn't work. My girlfriend's trying to figure me out since the fourth grade. My mom is trying to figure me out. My mom told me the other day, like, I still don't really know about you. She told me that the other day. So it's like, I'm a person. I don't really know much about anything except what I go through. So I understand that I don't know what I'm doing. I know that. As far as life, I know what I would want, but I understand that I don't know what's gonna happen tomorrow. And that gives me a kind of, when coming with music or just life in general, gives me I'm kind of at ease with it. That's why I don't try to make songs. Like, I don't try to remake songs or try to make, I just want this to feel a certain type of way, and I'll be perfectly fine with it. If no one liked my album, you can ask her, I would not care. Because I know what it's supposed to be. Everyone loves Sean Coltrane Volume 1. You'll never hear me playing that shit. Because that wasn't me being who, that wasn't me. You know, Stolen Youth isn't me. I hated the process of making that project. It was difficult for me. They understand. I knew the weight of it, but I didn't really know how to go about it. Like, that was really Corey and Mac's project, to be 100% honest with you. Winter in Prague was Mike Luzuaro saying, rap on this beat about this. Remember that one time this happened with your dad? Make this song about that. That's been everything.
At some point, though, did you understand, or did you draw from that directive to figure out exactly what it was supposed to be?
Nah, all that taught me was that there is no direction. You can't try to do that, especially trying to make what I'm doing. Because I'm not trying to be Jay-Z. I'm trying to be Pink Floyd.
Like, how? What do you mean?
You've never seen what. Put it like this. It's an argument I have a lot of time. I feel like when I tell people Chief Keef has more influence than Jay-Z when it comes to youth.
For sure.
With youth, I mean 30 and under. Why? Because you'll never see a kid walking down the street like, I want to look like Jay-Z. I'm going to grow dreads like Jay-Z. I'm going to take pictures like Jay-Z. As long as I've been alive, I've never seen that. And I understand it's a different time period, but like I said, it's a part of age. And that's the most successful rapper ever. Him and Kanye West. And Kanye doesn't even get that anymore. On a lesser level, there aren't kids walking around like, I want to look like Drake. There aren't kids walking around like, I want to look like J. Cole. You won't see it. And if you do, it's a small number. But there are kids that look like the Migos. There are kids that look like Chief Keef. There are kids that look like, when we were younger, it was 50 Cent in the game. There are kids that look like YG. And that comes down to this. Tyler Earl. And this comes down to this. It's the zoo. You know what I mean? It's easy to be everyone wants to be the lion. The kids want to be the tigers. They want to be the bears. They want to be these creatures that have a sort of power that we can't contain. It's a fear.
Top of the food chain.
Exactly. That's so in a sense, that is what we get looked at as. And when that's connected with the right approach to the music, that's when you have a Jimi Hendrix. That's when you have a Pink Floyd. That's when you have a Led Zeppelin, a Metallica, a Guns N' Roses, a Rolling Stones. That's one thing they've got that we haven't really gotten throughout. The closest thing we have to it in hip-hop that I've seen personally is Kanye West, in a sense. That's the closest thing we've gotten to it.
Everybody knows that.
That's why, to me, he's the best ever. It always will be until someone else, because it's the right initiative and the right. Put like this: it doesn't matter what you say or what you do; it matters how they what they take from it. It matters what they take from it.
Do you think that? I mean, like the those very superstar, influential, sort of iconic artists had something going in the time period that helped catapult them, and I'm wondering now, in terms of technology, in terms of human interaction, like we interact here. You know, we don't interact in a room that much anymore on a lot of levels. And I'm wondering if because of the devices of our time, we don't get more influx of those iconic sort of artistic, very powerful, socially
definitely
driven.
It almost it will damn near end it, because it's to the point you have to be in the room with those people to understand who they are. Martin Luther King had speeches. He didn't tweet. It's a difference. And we don't
quotables for days.
You won't be able to feel that. I mean, that's gonna hurt me more than it helps me. Mm. And but I know that, and I'm fine with that, because I know it's not about me. You know what I mean? And that's the problem. It's about them to everyone. That almost ruined my life. So I'm not okay with that.
Wait, say it. Yeah. What do you mean by that?
When you look at artists, athletes, anyone of any influence, it's always been about them. Uh-huh. As far as my lifetime. I only speak from what I know.
Uh-huh.
And that was a problem. Because we had an argument the other day, and our argument was like a big discussion in the studio, and they were like, well, it came down to no rappers ever tried or cared to even reach out a hand or a word of kindness or anything to anyone in my generation ever, except for Kanye West and Lupe Fiasco. I was like, it had to be more. And I told the room full of no ID in the room, Brian, people that have been around for a long time in this room, very successful people, my question was who? And no one had one name. That's the problem.
For clarity, he's saying that's relevant in his generation.
Yeah,
I'm clear.
I think that's a very clear thing that has been happening in this entire conversation, is that there is a very clear separation between your generation and your generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we do know the reasons for that, but not all of those reasons have been articulated. But because the holdover is you saying somebody must have told you, and he's saying nah.
No. And I'm clear on that. I understand the disconnect. I mean, one thing, I try to reach out to people, but it's not always received, and I get that, and I'm never insulted.
But part of that also, I think, is like it's not even about hip-hop. Like, it's about our generation. Like, I remember a very clear feeling when I was a kid of being like, oh, just realizing that my parents' generation fucked me. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't leave anything for us to do, and they won't fucking get out of the fucking job, so how am I going to move up? Mm-hmm. And, like, they made all these promises. They're going to fuck us with Social Security. They don't want to talk about it. Like, they refuse to deal with segregation and housing and racism and the police. They're going to put it on us to fix it and pay for it. And they set it up because they were too afraid to let us, like, get bruised, like, fall down. Mm-hmm. It's all about protecting us little white kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I get heated when I'm with you and Earl.
Let me tell you how that even gets convoluted in the sense of where I come from. It's about 200 people from my neighborhood, granted, in jail, alive, around, or moved away. A large portion of those people are white.
Yeah.
So, but listen, this is why that's a bad thing. In a sense, it makes you hopeless, because one thing that's always worked in the benefit of the Black and Latino communities was being able to say, that's what's wrong. That's the enemy. And not even in the racism, oh, they have all the motherfuckers, we're going to go get what they have. That doesn't exist where I come from, because they're right there.
Right. I understand what you're saying.
I look forward, but then I look at Chris. I look at Pook. I look at one of these people, and it's like, oh, shit, you're fucked too. So we just stuck. And that's scary. I talk to Corey about it all the time. That's scary. Cause it's like, who do you look? Who's the enemy, quote unquote? Who's pulling you back? And then it gets to the point where it's like, oh, we're just stuck. And that's lower middle class suburbia. Which, you know, cause like I said, it's not Compton, it's not Watts. In the scary quotes around, it's not Compton, it's not Watts. But we can't fend for ourselves. So what we do have is escapes. What becomes our escape? Is it film? Is it music? Is it whatever? So the easiest one to get is music, because a song could be 3 minutes. You don't have to sit down for hours. You don't have to take weeks out of your life to read a book. It's 3 minutes, and those 3 minutes can change your life. And since them making you feel like nothing matters, what do we do with these 3 minutes? Let's drink lean. Let's sell cocaine. Let's kill people. Saying?
Mm-hmm.
So there is no civil rights where I come from. There is no pride in helping your race overcome where I come from. All we have are escapes. You can go to the beach, probably get shot at because the cops don't come to the beach. You can go try to kick it with this girl who you don't know who her brother is. You don't want to catch the bus because it's in the summer. That's when it gets racial. And then we all pretend it didn't happen to become friends once school back in, which has always been funny to me. And you have your escapes. What do we have to escape to? Who's the new author? Who has the new books that the kids are reading? I want to go get my nephew books. He just turned 6 years old. He said, I wanted books for my birthday. I was trying to, oh, what's the new shit that they're reading? I found Captain Underpants books from when I was a kid. Same stuff. Mm. Where are the new films? Where are these things that we need? They don't really exist, but we have an overflow of music, right? But what are we being told with these escapes? Nothing. We don't even have rock music anymore. Who's the rock star right now?
I couldn't tell you.
We don't have anything.
I'd say Kanye West was the rock star. At
exactly.
Some point,
that's
right?
You know. Exactly.
That's my answer.
And they're grabbing that from him right now. And you know, things happen. You know, you kind of lose. Like I said, even the older you get, the less kids can relate to you. But
yeah,
it's like we don't. It's not here anymore. And the saddest part, people. Well, you have this. You have that. It's not. That's not it. We don't. It's literally. And like I said, it's right, wrong, reality. It's not there. So that's why. We're trying to make these things what they're not. Because when you come to Long Beach, everybody looks like they're from Chicago right now. Okay. Everybody.
Okay. So I totally feel you. But I can say, through the ages, this is the Islam about to drop. Through the ages of time, the Creator has given something, whether you believe in whatever or not, something to, when we are way misaligned, to give us, it could just be this big, to kind of like bring us back to our center or an idea of what the centers should be or supposed to be. So I just say to that right now is Kendrick Lamar, you know? Like, I don't hear anyone else really questioning themselves, talking about the environments, saying how fucked up it is, saying how fucked up they are for it, but at the same time saying, you know, juxtaposing and then pointing the finger right back at it. And then pointing the finger outwardly for how we're in this environment and situation. And so you're of that ilk. You're right there. So as much as there isn't, and there, you know, there's all this other stuff, the majority of the BS, the minority, there's something that's there. I have hope when I listen to your record. I have hope when I listen to Kendrick's record. I think people may misunderstand you if they're not really paying attention to you and would think that you are of speaking. They would think maybe it come away from your music that you're just part of the problem.
Yeah, definitely.
Of all the stuff that you're talking about.
But listen, that I am. I am. That's the situation. Like, look at what happened. The only difference between me and them is I'm smart enough to know I'm wrong. And I've always known I was wrong. You can ask my mother, I've always known I was wrong, but I've never had a problem with it. So my whole thing is, look what happened, look what you made.
What are you talking about specifically, though?
When you look on the television and you see a black kid shot by a cop because the cop was afraid, and people tell you it's bullshit. It's not.
Who tells you what part is bullshit?
Well, oh no, he wasn't scared. He just like, no, they're afraid, because it's to the point that it's now circling back to what I said earlier. When you're in the third grade, you know, in Jackson DeLoach has a birthday party, and you know his mom has a house, and this two story house in Sunny Cove, which is the nice part of Compton, right across the street from the projects in Park Village, and his dad lives in Carson on like 185th Street, like with all the crazy doctors and stuff like that, and you have to go home to be in the back of your aunt's house with all the crazy people, and you're in the fourth grade, in the third or fourth grade, and you already start to feel bad about yourself. And then you get older, and you begin to not want to leave your house because you don't want people to have to drop you off, and you don't want to have to showcase certain things. You don't want people to know your dad's never getting out of jail, potentially. You don't want people to know what your mom is like, because when your mom's not picking up from school, she's a completely different person. That's not mom anymore. When you live your life and you're that young and you begin to be ashamed of who you are, the older you get, the smarter you get. So you're looking for a reason to have pride in who you are and where you come from. And you look out the window and then you understand what fear is. When you go to the zoo and you see that lion, you see that bear, you want to know why that glass is up and why they look at that animal in amazement. You want to understand why that is. And then you look, oh, you're scared to be over here. Why? Not because it's bad, not because you're too big, because you're afraid of what can happen to you. I'm what could happen to you. You cause yourself to believe that I'm the problem. You're afraid of me. Why do you feel that way? Because nobody else was wondering why these kids look like this at such a young age. My nephew's 6 years old, I ask him what's wrong every time I talk to him, because it's always going to be something wrong. And every time he has something to say. But
what does he say?
Well, no, kids are messing with me. I just don't really know how. I don't know what I want to be when I get older. I think my mom likes my sister more than me. Things that no one's thinking about that change who you are. This is me being smart enough and being able to live past it. Because when I have my core group of friends I grew up with, I'm like my best friends. I'm the last one left. Literally the last one left out of about 10 to 15 people. I'm the last one left. So my music is me saying, this is the problem. But I'll acknowledge it, because nobody else is going to acknowledge it.
Well, I think the difference is, one, you're acknowledging it. But two, I think I don't just get the sense that you're just saying, yo, I'm the problem. I feel like you're offering maybe not a solution right this moment, but first of all, it's just your first album, right?
Definitely. But
So I, like, for example, the video for Senorita, which, you know, illustrates what you're talking about, that zoo feeling. Even in that video, I think you're showing something to wake up the minds.
But this is why I look at it. There cannot be a solution until the problem is addressed. And that's the point I'm at right now. Because that's why I set the mood. I want this album to just, like, the whole point of the title, and I've never, this is the elaboration of it. That was the point in time where I understood the power of fear, where we all did. So that album's supposed to make you feel how people used to feel when they saw my mom come up to school or come around and she had, you know, the shirt tucked in with the pants off. Like, I dress like my mom and always will, always have. When that, I want people to feel that fear when they listen to this music. I want people to feel the fear of being 12, 13 years old when your best friend's dad goes to jail, he leaves guns, you go on YouTube to figure out how to use them. The fear that we understood that we had, that is the mood and the tone of this album. Because that's real, and they're just troublemakers. No, it's a result of you not caring. Mm. That's what Summertime 06 signifies. It's when I understood the power of fear, and when I understood, yeah, I'm part of the problem, and I will be for a very long time, because that's what I choose to be. Because it's a choice. You don't get a choice in where you grow up. You don't get a choice in your involvement. Because it's people from the hood that have never done anything. They just live over here, and they need some backup when somebody come through. Mm. So, like, mine as well is one fight. They're going to always have me go to work, go to school, because the first mind is never to tell you to do wrong where I come from, and it never will be. And I make sure to make that a point to get that across. When we were younger, we would get in trouble for having guns. We would get in trouble for not going to school. More than our parents would get mad, they would get mad. Because their whole thing was like, damn, since you from the hood now, you have to do what I say. So I'm going to tell you to go to school. It was that type of environment. Mm-hmm. But that's when we understood the power we had in fear, because it's either they're scared of you or they're better than you. And no one wants to feel like anyone else is better than them. So we established fear. And Lift Me Up is understanding that. North North is appreciating that. Mm. Summertime is conflicting with that. Surf is understanding that you're wrong and it's not about me, it's about you. I can be wrong, but what are you going to do about it?
Yet 16, heard you want to be a star girl. What he charged for the dream that you bought, girl? What's the price on a life in this dark world? Couple hundred where I come from. How you sleep when the sun down? I ain't really trying to judge. Now you looking for somebody you can love. He was looking for somebody he can fuck. Took your body, wouldn't bother what you done. Sport riding in the bottom of slums, caught up in the fun.
You tried it, I planned it, you dreamed it, I started. You're missing the target. What more can you ask me for?
it's like I said, it's less about what's being said and more about how it makes you feel. And that's the definition of that.
That makes complete sense. I guess I just want to say that it doesn't, I'm so very grateful for the album and for talking to you every time that we talk to you, and like almost every interview that you give. I don't feel, it doesn't make me feel hopeless. It doesn't make me feel like we should blow it up. We should start over. It feels like the beginning. It feels like we can speak directly and clearly to each other, and that we can finally get somewhere.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, to further explain what I mean by that, that's not a new page. That's a different book.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. 1,000%.
Like, fuck all of that.
Yes.
That doesn't matter. Let's get over here with it.
Right. And it's not like a violent rejection of anything. It's just like, let's go.
Exactly. Because it's funny. Like, when I tell you my nephew's 6 years old and listens to my music all the time and literally has not taken one negative thing from it, you can't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about.
Never gotten that.
But that's why the whole... It wouldn't matter to me if people deem me to be on the opposite side of the spectrum, on the negative problems. Because it's like a child, which is who matters, because we're going to die before them. So the fact that a child who lives in, you know, Riverside and has never seen any type of anything wrong in his life can listen to I Never Ran From Nothing But The Police and not take from it, fuck the police, or I want a gun, or I'm going to do this, that's what I care about.
What was his reaction to that one?
I don't really know. He's like, is he? What did he say? What did he say? Oh, he was like, your voice doesn't sound that loud all the time. That's what he said. But it's like just in general, like with music, like it all comes down to who you are as a person. Because if he looked at me and heard my music and saw a different person, maybe he wouldn't feel that way. But I'm a person, mm-hmm. and he sees me as a person. That's the difference, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can hear my music and see that that's where I came from. Or he can see that that made me who I am today, because he to this day doesn't like fights. I'll tell him to slap a kid for bullying him. He'll say no, it's not right and doesn't help anybody and things like that. So he sees the conflictions in people, and he's a smart kid. But I just feel like that's and not to say that's my demographic, because I know it's not, but that's...
6-year-olds.
Yeah,
that's where the money is.
Yeah, that's what I find comfort in.
Yeah.
It seems like that is to know I'm not fucking somebody else's life up. Because the majority of things I heard and I saw messed me up a lot. Because, like, I've always been smarter than a lot of people. I've always been able to notice certain things due to my father and my mother being great people for me to follow behind. Not necessarily great parents in the sense of a traditional sense, but for literally the best people to bring me into the world I had to go into, because they told me what it was at the beginning, which is what a lot of people, parents, I've never thought Santa Claus was real or nothing like that. And that helped me be the person I am today and helped me deal with this business and the things I have to deal with in life. Mm-hmm. And but when it comes to this music and just being able to resonate correctly to the people that are gonna need it, because some people older than me might need it, but they won't need it as much as that child who knows nothing. And that's just really where it is with me.
What is your, what's his name, the 6-year-old?
Oh, JT, he's crazy.
Courtney's like, we gotta wrap this up. She's giving me the so polite. I'm so sorry. I don't want to interrupt, but I understand, Courtney. But it's been 2 years, so, and
there's more to come.
We'll see.
Absolutely, I know that, and that's why I'm not. I joke with you guys about it being 2 years, but I believe that things happen on time when it's supposed to. So, like, this was the time, you know, and I respect that. But the album is incredible. The energy from the frequencies, it's strong. And we have this thing happening. I'm going to give you some inside information. We don't have to print this, but. We're putting together the mid-year 2015 best of.
So far.
And I just stayed out of the conversation. And at some point, I was like, I know I have to get in the conversation. I said, I've been quiet because personally, 2015 has been a great disappointment for me for hip-hop. Kendrick Lamar, a couple people, and Earl and J. Cole aside. And so, man, I wish your album was like, just before the list, because then I would have had a different perspective on it. But I'm happy that it's coming when it's coming. And again, thank you for giving us first listen and coming here and really just spending time with us to talk to us.
Yeah, man. I've never told anybody why the album's called the album. I always lie. I don't lie, but I say like I don't divulge.
I feel extra special.
True talk.
And then to get you in an interview.
That was nice. Thank you, sir.
If you would come back,
I told you that before.
If you would come back, because you know, there's lots we can talk about.
I was thinking about that earlier. Yeah.
Anytime, yo. Thank you for really taking the time to talk to Vince, though. I appreciate it. I think it was a great interview.
Honestly. I do too.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's gonna be dope. We'll flip NPR. It for next week.
Shout out Dave Chappelle for NPR, though.
He made me
get it on my phone.
What? Thank you, Dave. That's what's up.
Real deal. NPR.
Oh, man. Everything's different now that I know Dave Chappelle is listening to me. Fuck.
Every morning, every night. NPR.
Thanks,
Vince.
No problem, man. Appreciate you guys.